May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. My husband, Ivan, and I like to play an icebreaker when we meet for gatherings with people we don't know very well. The game consists of answering a simple two-part question. If a movie was to be made about your life, who would you choose to play you? And then when they've had a bit of time to think about it, but who in reality would play you? Some of you might like to have George Clooney or Ethan Hawke play you, but in reality it might be someone more like Woody Allen. Others might say Nicole Kidman or Naomi Watts, but in reality it might be someone a bit less glamorous. You get the idea. Now I think this game works well as an icebreaker. It is fun because we enjoy picturing ourselves as characters in a film. We like to imagine our life as part of a bigger plot with a purpose greater than simply what we see and experience. And in a similar way, we might picture the story of God's activity in the world as a long list of characters in a film. And if we do, today's readings from Isaiah, Acts, and the Gospel of Luke become very important to the plot. For they each have a touch of the dramatic. They each have a mystical quality. God reveals his presence through the dangers of a storm, the flames of fire, and in the mighty waters of baptism. When heavens opened and the Spirit descends upon Jesus, it must have felt like a great gusting wind blowing in something new. And it's no accident that we hear the story of Jesus' baptism during this season of Epiphany, the season of revelation, of a bright, shining light. In a story by Flannery O'Connor entitled The River, a little boy, neglected by his parents, is taken by his babysitter to a baptism along a local riverbank. When they arrive at the riverside where the service is being held, they see a tall, somewhat foreboding fundamentalist preacher standing in the water. A few people are in the water with him. Others are standing nearby, curious, bored, amused, even a little scared. The preacher proclaims loudly for everyone to hear, "Listen what I've got to say to you, you people. There ain't but one river. This is the river of life, made out of Jesus' blood. That's the river where you lay your pain, in the river of faith, the river of joy, and the river of love." Harry, the little boy, is fascinated by this man and what he hears. And before he knows it, he's out in the water. The preacher grabs hold of him and says, "If I baptize you, you'll go straight to the kingdom of Christ. You'll be washed in the river of suffering. Do you want this?" "Yes," the boy says. With this, the preacher plunges Harry's head into the water. When he brings him up, he says, "You count now. For you, everything has changed. For you are now part of the river of life." Now, I love this picture of baptism in a river somewhere in the southern United States. Not because I agree with the theology, but because it is real. The preacher is confident and fiery. He doesn't mince his words. He sees things and says things as he sees them. Not unlike John the Baptist. And Harry, the little boy, is a picture of expectation. He is a sign of hope, of new life. Harry sees something in what the preacher is offering, something mysterious, something far beyond what he might have expected. Like the people standing along the Jordan River with John, like Jesus himself, as this boy enters the waters of baptism, his life is changed. In today's reading from the prophet Isaiah, God's care for his people is conveyed with these words: "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you." When Jesus enters the waters of baptism, he allies himself with the hopes and fears, the pain and problems of all the broken and hurting people who had flocked to the Jordan River. By wading into the waters with them, he takes his place beside them. And from here, we begin to see who Jesus is. As Jesus is baptized, a voice from heaven proclaims, "You are my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." These words are a revelation, an epiphany from God. And hearing these words today, on the first Sunday after Epiphany, we come face to face with what this revelation means for us. For this is what Epiphany is all about: revealing of something new, something exciting, something a little dangerous. On Friday morning, we celebrated Epiphany with St. Peter's School, and Father Ralph took the service. He described for the children the journey of the wise men, the significance of their gifts, and how their lives revealed something new about God. And to illustrate his point, he introduced us to various Epiphany customs around the world, from Germany, Mexico, France, and Italy. At some point, Ralph paused and said, "Epiphany is all about God's love and sharing this love with others. And so I've brought something to share with you." He opened his bag, and one of the children took out an Italian Epiphany cake. He placed the cake on the altar for all to see, and the excitement of the children grew as they looked hopefully towards the cake. I thought to myself, now this is lovely that Ralph has brought them a cake, but it is just one cake. How can he share the love of God with 300 plus children with just one cake? Maybe he was planning a miracle, the multiplication of the panettone. For the remainder of Ralph's talk, the cake sat on the altar. Towards the end, he asked six of the children to go into the office and bring something back for everyone to see. As they left, a child turned to me and asked, "Are they going to bring in baby Jesus and the three wise men?" I said, "It could be. We'll have to wait and see." And very soon we did see. And it wasn't what we were expecting. Father Ralph had surprised us. The six children processed into the room, each carrying a big Italian Epiphany cake. And as you can imagine, cheers and excitement filled the room. And in the end, there was enough cake for everyone. No one would be left out from the love of God. For this is what Epiphany is all about. Epiphany is about breaking through the heavens into our lives, the unexpected and the surprising. You may have heard the saying, "Remember your baptism." We often hear this at confirmation services. The idea is not so much to remember the actual event, but to remember and to reflect on when God was made first present in your life. As we remember our baptism, we see how God chose to be with us, how he risked everything to be one of us. Through the waters of baptism, we are drawn into God's family. And in our life together, we see Jesus standing with us on the water's edge. Here in the unknown, in the midst of the darkness and the light, God is near to us. For even in the deepest waters, the Spirit is truly in our midst, and this changes our lives forever. Amen.